Hello and welcome. You're watching the weekend edition of Left, Right and Center. I'm Osama Sharp. Tonight, we dive into President Trump's ever-shifting tariffs and their grip on global trade. From 25% duties on Canada and Mexico to 145% on China. The markets are reeling and consumers are facing rising costs. But can the world expect relief? Now, Trump's recent 90-day tariff pause and exemptions, it hints at flexibility, especially for allies offering concessions on trade or security. Now, countries like India, Canada, and Japan may see breaks if negotiations deliver. Now, with U.S. businesses crying foul and global retaliation escalating, Trump faces pressure to ease up. Yet, his America First base demands results. Meanwhile, the European Trade Commissioner, Maros Sefcovic, he is set to travel to Washington and will hold talks with the United States officials on Monday with the aim of reaching a deal on tariffs. This is what a EU spokesperson has said. Meanwhile, Xi Jinping, he is heading to the southeast of Asia amid the entire U.S. tariff war. He is embarking on a five-day, three-nation Southeast Asia tour. But again, the big question that we are asking on the show tonight is, can the world expect larger relief? We'll try and find those answers. In fact, I'm currently joined by Nirupama Sondirajan, an economist, Rahul Ahluwalia, founder, director of Foundation of Economic Development. He is formerly with the Niti Aayog and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I also have Willem Buter, independent economic advisor, former professor of economics as well. A very warm welcome to all of you. Nirupama, I would like to start with you, especially on the tariff strategy of Donald Trump. Now, Trump's tariff swing between aggressive hikes and then sudden pauses, like the recent 90-day hold on reciprocal duties. Is this a deliberate tactic in order to extract concessions, or does it signal uncertainty in his trade policy?
Thank you. I think it's more a reaction to what happened to the U.S. bond market in the last 2 days, ever since the initial rollout happened. You see, there's been a huge problem there. There was a lot of sales that was happening, and that really did create quite a bit of panic in the bond market, which has otherwise been quite stable. And I think that's the reason for the pause more than anything else. And till the market stabilize there a little bit, until the U.S. is able to kind of evaluate what kind of impact these tariffs are going to have on the market, on their market specifically, I think there will be a little bit of a pause because they will have to deal with that and account for that. And I think that's what the 90 days are for. But that also obviously gives other economies a chance to kind of revamp their value chains and their supply chains and to think about how they would want to negotiate any kind of treaties in the meanwhile, which would also, I suppose, work to Trump's advantage and to America's advantage in terms of seeing where they can negotiate good deals for themselves as well.
Right. You know, it is always interesting to talk about Donald Trump. People might have a lot of opinion about him. But again, like I said, it's always interesting to talk about Donald Trump and his next moves. Willem Buter, what's the likely next move of Donald Trump?
Well, I think the likely next move is for further temporary exceptions to the tariffs that are still in effect. Yep. Remember, the 10% baseline tariff remains in effect. The 25% tariff on steel, on cars and aluminum are still in effect. And of course, while there has been some leniency towards high-tech imports from China, which are no longer subject to the 125% tariff, but still to 20% tariff, I expect we can see some widening of the exceptions for China.
Right. I also want to understand the global impact these tariffs are having. Rahul Ahluwalia, with Canada facing 25% tariffs, China hit with 145%, are we seeing a permanent shift towards regional blocs, countries that could possibly sideline the United States?
I think the definite permanent shift that we are seeing is uncertainty and a shift in the sort of free trade consensus that had developed over the last 40 or 50 years. So I think the WTO has become basically irrelevant because of this. So I do think that now countries are going to create more and more blocks within themselves. And that, I think, is definite. But what that shakeup is going to be, which regional bloc is going to become more prominent, there's such a lot of uncertainty right now. Like the other gentleman was saying, there are going to be more exceptions coming in the few days. Every country is seeking a deal. So I don't think there is a lot that we should see in terms of shifting investment in the near term, because investors hate to see uncertainty. Investors will not make big moves right now. But in the medium term, I do expect that people will try to move away from China. So for India, this is a big opportunity. I think the key thing is for us to look inside. While externally, there's a lot of uncertainty and very little is in our control, we should try to strike the best deal that we can. The most important thing for us to look is to look inside and see how can we make it easy for our businesses to take advantage of this. How can we deregulate? How can we work on ease of doing business?
Right. Nirupama Sundararajan, the segment, it mentions possible relief for allies if they meet Trump's demands on trade order security. What specific concessions might secure these tariff exemptions, and how feasible are they, according to you?
Look, I think Trump's motive has been very clear. The entire phrase says it's reciprocal. So it's going to be an entire conversation on quid pro quo. But having said that, I think what we need to also understand is, as far as India's exports to the US is concerned, the bulk of it have been service exports and mainly in the IT sector. And I don't think they are currently being, really messed with, as it were, because I think the focus of Trump's tariffs are also mostly on goods rather than services. But having said that, there are certain sensitive sectors for India, such as agriculture, where we may not be willing to compromise too much. Yeah. However, I think there are already conversations on what we can do in the automobile sector. I know there is a lot of strife within the domestic EV manufacturers in terms of, whether the tariffs are going to be lowered or not. But these are some sectors where I think we could possibly have some kind of quid pro quo with the U.S., and I think that's what we will look to do. We will see what deals work best for us. And I think that we will need to also wait and see over this 90 days period to see what other kind of investment treaties are being struck, because there are already rumors of Vietnam possibly slashing all their tariffs to zero. Yeah. In which case, suddenly Vietnam becomes obviously more competitive than India. So we will have to take all of that into account. So the 90-day period that we have is also going to be a stock-taking for ourselves to see what unfolds internationally vis-a-vis US and the other economies before we make any kind of definitive move.
Absolutely. Willem Buiter, China and the United States, they are locked in this escalating trade war, and there is no relief in sight as of now. I want to understand from you, how sustainable is it? Is this retaliatory approach, and could it leverage its trade surplus to outlast U.S. tariffs? And what is the end game here?
Well, it's difficult to see this either going through indefinitely or ending soon. Trump went in, put in 145% aggregate tariff on China, and then suddenly discovered that they weren't rolling over. They were responding in kind. And in fact, they were threatening non-tariff barriers to trade, attacking U.S. foreign direct investment into China and all that. So I think that this relationship between the U.S. and China is going to remain highly uncertain, even if tomorrow or the day after all mutual barriers are taken away. They could be reimposed the next week.
Yeah.
And so this uncertainty is what is going to be the dominant characteristic over the rest of Trump's term. Yes. And this will be inimical to investment everywhere. You're not going to invest at home or in the US or in China until you have a clearer sense of what the new trade regime is going to be like. And we will not have that for many months to come.
Yeah. And having said that, what is interesting, Rahul Ahluwalia, is that Donald Trump, he exempted smartphones, which is the number one Chinese export to America by value. It is a stunning U-turn. How do you see that development?
It's about your question of sustainability, right? It's interesting that for the U.S., tariffs are economically a lot more sustainable because it's a much healthier economy. It's the richest country in the world. But politically, bad moves are a lot less sustainable in the U.S. because there is public opinion. The markets, like Nirupama was saying, are reacting. CEOs are calling up Trump and his team and saying that there's no way that you can do this. So the U.S. has made that U-turn. And China is in the exact opposite position, where economically their economy has been sputtering for a while, bad investment decisions, etc., happening there. But politically in China, it's a lot easier to sustain any decision they take. So I think Trump making the U-turn is, I think, both good and to be kind of expected, really, in the kind of setup that we have in the U.S. And in the medium term, again, this is why you should expect the U.S. to come out of this better, because they have these kinds of checks and balances, whereas any bad decision that she takes is just going to stay taken.
Yeah. The global markets, they have shown some sort of adaptability with countries diversifying trade partnerships. Nirupama ji, do you see this as a positive?
Look, it's always a good thing when you can diversify your trade partnerships. I mean, if anything, COVID also taught us that. And prior to COVID, during his earlier term, when he first started the trade wars with China, that was also evident. But having said that, I think the larger question here is, no matter how much you diversify your trade partners, and, as Rahul had earlier mentioned, even if you have economic blocks and trading blocks that are being created, if China and the US get into this kind of war, the effect as far as global economy is going to be is not going to be very good. There is already, I think most of the agencies have already downgraded projections by almost 1% or so. And that spillover is going to have a longer term impact on every economy across board, including India, rather than any kind of immediate impact of the tariff itself. And I think that's what one needs to keep in mind. And we must also remember that, point of interest, that the Great Depression, when it started, also started on the back of such tariff wars and reciprocal tariff that the U.S. had initiated. So that kind of fear still exists, even if it may not translate. But I think those kind of fears exist. And given how things are today, it's not something, it may not be as bad as it was then, but a recession or a slowdown in global economy is certainly very, very plausible.
Absolutely. And what is going to be the economic fallout of this, projection suggests that an 8% US GDP drop is possible if these tariffs persist. Beyond the numbers, what sectors are the most vulnerable, and how might global supply chains reroute to bypass the United States? Well, that is another question that remains to be answered. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this discussion.